reaching their love to the ground.
Way out west, there was this fella. Fella I want to tell you about. Fella by the name of
Todd Lebo.
At least that was the handle his loving parents gave him. But he never had much use for it himself.
This Lebo.
He called himself
Lebo.
Sometimes there's a man. Well, he's the man for his time and place. He fits right in there. And that's
Todd Lebo.
Kansas City.
I hate Lebo.
La la la. All right, so we'll hear from Todd Lebo in St. Joe. He is up there, and we are telling you where you can go to win the 100-year celebration tickets, or just simply get them, not even needing to win them, because we've got a couple of ticket drops going on. One right now. Briscoe, what's the latest, and where the fine listeners can go to get tickets to the 100-year celebration going on right now?
Now, don't drag your feet. If you're on your lunch break, go make this happen sooner rather than later. But you're right. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do a handstand. You don't have to win a contest. You don't have to drop your name in a box. If you go to the Amini's in Overland Park, that's 10595 Metcalf Avenue, Amini's on Metcalf, you can go and get yourself a pair of tickets to the 100 Years of WHB celebration that is coming up Thursday night at the Midland. It's going to be a wild event. We're all going to be there, of course. And so will be a lot more people who are a lot more famous than any of us are. But we're going to have an incredible time Thursday night. You can be there, too, if you just go swing by the Amini's at 10595 Metcalf Avenue. Amini's on Metcalf. They also have a whole bunch of stuff on sale right now. Indoor, outdoor furniture, patio furniture, pinball machines, game room products, pool tables, golden tea, and I have on good authority, quote, everything's on sale. Now, if you take that and you say, excuse me, I found an item that's not on sale, is this, I can't say what, you know, what that process might be like once you get out there. What I can say is if you go to Amini's, you can get yourself a pair of tickets to the event on Thursday, and you can certainly find a great deal on something to add to your backyard, your patio area, your basement, your game room, whatever. That's what Amini's is there for. Also today, they're the place you can get some tickets.
Awesome. That celebration coming up on Thursday night. A little breaking news in the NFL. Again, something that you still don't want to see when it comes to training camp. Mekhi Becton, the tackle for the New York Jets, who, if you're aware, you may not, tore his ACL in week one last year for the Jets, former top 10 pick. Mekhi Becton tore his ACL week one last year. Returning this year, he has fractured his kneecap in the same knee, and he will miss the entire season this year as well. So he played a rookie season and played really well, and there was a lot of hope as to how good Mekhi Becton could be for the Jets. And the next 2 years, he has played one game. You want that rookie contract because you want that guy to be really good as a tackle while he's on a rookie deal, but you got 1 year left, and you're going to figure out if you're going to have a fifth-year option for a guy that you've seen play 1 year and has the same knee that now has a torn ACL and a fractured kneecap in the same one. So it also sort of brings back the fear and the emotions of that night in Denver when Mahomes had a dislocated kneecap, mm-hmm. that how close it might have been to then missing the season, because Mekhi Becton is missing the season because his kneecap was fractured, where Mahomes was just, you know, your generic dislocated kneecap instead of a fractured one. So, again, as I've said, this is not the time to see breaking news and your team's name in that. But that's going on with the New York Jets. Todd Lebo in St. Joe today. Todd, what's up, man?
Doing all right. My knee started hurting when you started telling me about broken kneecaps. I don't like that talk. I don't care for that at all.
No.
I don't care for that.
I hate it. And Becton's a good player, man. It changes so much in training camp. You know, I hated to see it happen last year with the Ravens, that it's just like player after player after player just went down. I just want everybody to get to the regular season. Every single team, get to the regular season healthy, and let's see who the best team is. See who the best team is.
No doubt. It's tough. Training camp injuries are always devastating because you're like, it's practice, you mm-hmm. know. But you have to practice, and you have to play the preseason games. And, you know, you can get hurt anywhere. You can get hurt off the field. But that's a tough one there. And the Chiefs, you know, knock wood, it's been pretty healthy up here for them. And, you know, you heard the press conferences earlier. They haven't had a rookie miss a practice. I mean, they're all bought in and they're getting after it. It's been the good news, basically, and good feelings just continue at St. Joseph for the Chiefs. It's been a good run, and there was a really nice crowd up here today. Mm-hmm. Beautiful weather. It's not 100 degrees. And you could hear, I know during the pressers, that fans shouting for autographs. They signed so many autographs. It's just a beautiful sunny day. And, you know, I even enjoyed the sun, and I don't like the sun.
No,
I enjoyed the sun today. I went for a lap around the field with my bucket hat on to be safe. But, yeah, I went out there. It was so nice today, walking around. I got out of the media tent for part of it.
The lap around the field, were you forced to do that by the PR staff with the Chiefs? Did they send you for a lap for questions you've asked before?
You can't go all the way around. You have to go like a big horseshoe and then come back the other way. But, no, it's good that you can get out there and see a little bit better with some of the matchups going. It was a fun day of practice. It was good, spirited. It was long today, had pads on. Much more fun. Yesterday was the old 10-10-10 and not a lot of action. But it was pretty good today. We got some pretty good up-close looks at ones versus ones, you know, one-on-one, offensive line, defensive line. You know, and you keep seeing it. You've heard them talk about it a bunch. You know, little tidbits and stuff from Frank Clark to George Karloftis and Carlos Dunlap. I mean, you really get this feeling that people are all kind of pulling the rope the same direction up here. I mean, you know, it's not, right? Because some guys are going to get cut. That's just the way it works. You don't get to keep everybody on your team. But it is nice to see people working with people. And I think there is something to the culture that's built here with the Chiefs that's not been the story just this year. That's the way it's been for quite a while. They really have a nice culture with the football program and everything going on with this team.
You know, one of the things we were wondering, like when Frank Clark showed up and he was skinny, right? He lost weight and was talking about what he did in the offseason and, you know, hey, you know, he looks faster and things like that. Well, when you're going one-on-ones and you're in shells, like how much can you really take away and glean from, you know, what a guy may look like this year? You know, Joe Colan talked about it a little bit and, you know, he was quicker and fast off the line. When there is the, you know, full go, ones versus ones, good on good in the padded practices, from what you've seen from a Frank Clark and a Karloftis, but maybe more specifically Frank Clark, from what we've seen from him, and he said last year he had a gut and was embarrassed watching himself on film and how slow he was and didn't really feel his legs underneath him. Does he look quicker when it's one-on-one, you know, one versus one and in the 11-on-11s and he's actually got to go out there and make a play and not beating, you know, Roderick Johnson around the edge, you know, backup left tackle?
Yeah, I think he looks good. I mean, you know, there are, you know, I don't know, 100 and some plays or reps, hundreds of reps in practice.
Right.
There was a good portion there where they were kind of close to our end where we were watching and, you know, they get like two snaps in a row and he had two against Orlando Brown. And he beat him around the edge once, and then the second time he tried to come inside at Orlando won. That's what you kind of like to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
You like to see you don't want Orlando Brown to get beat every time because he's your left tackle, but you also don't want Frank Clark not to be able to get around Orlando Brown. So I took that 30 seconds as a nice win-win for both of them. You know, they work on things, and it was spirited. So I like that stuff. So, you know, looking at him, yeah, I think he looks a little bit quicker. It's tough to tell. Until we get out in real games. But, you know, I just like the spirit of it all, honestly. That's what you like to see. And I saw some video yesterday of Giants camp fights, you know, stuff like that. I don't think, and you know, they love competitiveness, but they don't want fights at these camps.
No.
He doesn't like that stuff because you can get hurt and things can happen. But it just seems to be very highly competitive, spirited stuff. And the one thing before I forget to tell you, you heard, I'm sure you probably saw it on Twitter, yesterday Justin Reed kicked this like 65-yard kick just with the little tee. And today on the last kick, they gave him a chance to like do it with the team. And that was the very first question. If you couldn't quite hear the question when Dave Tobe came up, it was like the question from Matt Derrick was, what were the stakes on that kick? Was there like practice going to be over? You know, they've done some of those things. And he missed it, I don't know, 20 yards left. It was awful because there was actually 22 people on the field. It was a snap. It was a rush and all that stuff. It's a little bit different. But I do want to, that was one funny thing. We couldn't take video of it because it was during when there's 11-on-11 out there. But that was a funny thing if you want to follow up on how easy it is to perhaps make a kick with the little tee and no one out there and how it's a little different when the folks are out there. And Justin Reed did not come through, but you heard Dave Tope say they want to work with him because there could be a time you don't know if something's going to happen in a game where someone gets hurt and you got to have an option out there. But he did not come through today.
Yeah, but you know what? He needs to come through as a safety.
That's more important.
That's the most important part.
Here's the question. Would you rather have him kick a field goal or Harrison Butker play safety?
I'd rather Harrison Butker play safety because I feel like you could coach around that. Justin Reed needing to make a field goal. I don't know that you can coach around that.
We're going for two and going on fourth down every time. I'll have kicker Justin Reed in a heartbeat.
He wants to eliminate him all the time.
I want that actually. Okay. I would like for Justin Reed to actually extra roster spot, keep an extra running back. Hello, I'm seeing good stuff here.
See, and I've already figured out for Daytobe, you know, who the punt returner is. You know, he's talking about that Trent McDuffie is the best at catching the punts and things like that. Here's your punt returner. Nobody. Nobody. Let it go. You don't need to return it. Get the number one mission on punt return is to make sure Mahomes in the offense gets the ball.
Send 11 every time.
One way to do it.
You don't even need to send. Just leave your starting defense out there. Just leave your starting defense out there. Make sure they don't ever go for a fake punt. And then if the ball bounces down to the one, it bounces down to the one, and the offense has to go 99 yards. If it goes into the end zone,
I've said that
great.
For years. I would rather watch this offense go 95 yards than another offense have to go 50. There's no real benefit of getting an extra 7 yards on a punt return for this particular offense. So I'm with you there. I'll take. I would rather them catch it. Because you could maybe not lose those yards, but just catch it. There's no need to try to return. There's no need to ever catch it, run backwards. There's none of that ever. Just fair catch, very big signal, big wave, right when the ball's kicked. Wave both arms and then go catch it.
And same thing for kick return. If you catch the ball in the end zone, just go ahead and take a knee.
Stay there.
And take a knee because the odds of you actually getting back to the 25 without a penalty or anything like that versus getting to the 30 – doesn't make sense.
It seems to me like the Chiefs recently have just gotten antsy on kick returns. You just want to. You just want to kick. You have to do it. You don't want to sit there and not do it. So you just every once in a while, like, oh, I'm taking this one out no matter what. Like a baseball player, I'm swinging. I'm sick of taking walks. I'm swinging. Well, then you swing at the worst pitch ever, and you return the worst one ever. You're like, why are you 8 yards deep running this out? I wanted to. I could have made it.
Well, I think we're gonna. I would guess that we'll see one or two of those in the preseason from Isaiah Pacheco. I don't think 5 or 6 yards deep, Pacheco's like, you know what, let me take a knee here and do the smart thing. No, let me run this thing out because it's preseason and I want to see what I can do. The coaches want to – and you know what? Dave Tobin, the coaches, might tell him, you know, hey, bring the ball out and we want to work on the punt return or the kickoff return. We need to work on the blocking. We need to work on those things.
Sure.
So bring it out every single time. I thought it was interesting when Dave Tobe was asked about Pacheco, who has been a guy that has been talked about a lot in training camp, and he said he's going to have every chance to be that guy, Pacheco, on kickoff return. So we've heard Justin Watson, and we've heard Isaiah Pacheco that every chance to be the kickoff return guy. I mean, if those two guys are definitely on the roster, then it's either Ronald Jones or Jerick McKinnon or Clyde Edwards-Helaire has to go so you could have another wide receiver, or there's your running back and wide receiver group and you're 10 guys
right
between
now,
the two.
If we're starting to like count the roster spots, I think the one thing, you know, because like Jody Fortson continues to be a little bit hurt. I mean, he could be a good candidate for PUP, I guess. But they seem you know, hell-bent on poor tight ends. But you're right. I mean, that's the numbers part of this thing. You know, they got to come from somewhere. And you don't want to, like, go into a game with not enough linemen, right? Because that can really spiral on you. We'll have to wait and see how it goes. I would love to be in the meetings this year on that stuff with listening to, you know, how many guys does Dave Tobe get to stand on the table for? Does he get two? Does he get four? I don't know what. But they value the teams for sure. Because we're making jokes about just – you know, let the punts drop, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's only part of the game. It's like you got to cover the punts and you got to cover the kickoff. Since we're a team that kicks off a lot because they score a lot of points, you can't be giving up kick returns for touchdowns or, you know, 30, 40-yard kick returns and putting your defense to bad spots. So they do treat it – it's very important for them to do that the right way. But the numbers crunch will be real for this team because, as you know, that's what I was asking Mike Borgonzi. They got a lot of really good players on this team. The Chiefs aren't I know he said they will be scouting the 400 other wide receivers, whatever. Yeah. The chances of them picking up a wide receiver who got cut by another team and putting him on this team is fairly low, right? But in 2013, they were taking, you know, everyone's the good team scraps. But the Chiefs are that team now. They are the team that's roster is so deep that when you cut somebody, they're going to be earning a check elsewhere in the league because this isn't the end of the road. The Chiefs are not the last stop on the highway. You know, that's a different franchise. At one point,
that was
the last stop on the highway.
Yeah.
You know, like when
Lance Long.
The job, you know?
When Todd Haley said, I'll take 53 Lance Longs. Well, you're not winning a game if you do that.
And you barely won any with the guys you have. It's different, man. And this is not new this year. It's been this way for a few years. But it's a super competitive camp. And these are coveted spots. I mean, you want to be a Chief, right? I mean, that's like if you're in the NFL, you want to earn a check and do all that stuff and everything. But, you don't want to have to go earn your living somewhere else. You want to make this team.
One of the most interesting things today was I can't remember who asked the question. I just have to assume it was a, you know, handsome, brave, intrepid reporter who trekked all the way to St. Joe to ask questions like this. I hope you asked this question.
St. John was
there? I can't remember. I think this is a Lebo question. But my favorite response of the day was along the wide receivers, but the guys that are already there being Joe Blamire. Responding to, I think, your question about being a rookie in this offense, how difficult that's going to be for Sky Moore, where he says it can be difficult, but then he went into the entire explanation of how it's actually better for Sky Moore to be in this situation with veterans who are learning the offense for the first time. Did that?
Pseudo rookies,
Yeah, I found that really interesting as kind of a silver lining of an entire group that's largely hanging out around the same space with Mecole Hardman being the lone exception. What did you make of that?
Yeah, for sure. I think they like a lot about a lot of these guys, and it is nice, I guess, just a happy circumstance that it's kind of like a new group of guys, and there are certainly veterans in that group who have done it somewhere else, and they've come from good places too. You're talking about a guy coming from the Packers and a guy coming from the Steelers, in MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster, and then you put him with this kid who's coming from small college too. This not small. Okay, this isn't small, but it's not, this ain't Power Five, right? And they're all kind of in this together, and I think that's a nice mentality too, because they're all kind of learning. But I liked a lot, sometimes assistant coaches, we don't talk to them a lot, but I thought we got a lot of kind of good insights out of those guys today, and that was certainly one of them about Sky Moore and how he's going about it with this group of guys.
I thought it was interesting, just along those lines, the next part of it was about Juju Smith-Schuster, and he was saying that, he just knows the game. And his style of route running is what gets him open, and he compared it to Travis Kelce, as he said,
right.
Trav. That it's just, you run the, obviously to take away from that, you run the routes, but there's also a certain way you can run the routes in angles and spatial awareness and your depth. And Travis Kelce is not the fleetest of foot in running routes. He's not going to be Tyreek Hill or anything like that. And sometimes it looks like he's going 70 or 80% speed, but he just knows a wiggle here, a foot there to get open. And I thought that was interesting when Blamire compared Juju Smith's route running to that, that just has that in his game, that style that seems to always kind of get him open.
Right. And, we're not keeping stats up here. Like, I'm not. Someone might be. But he seems to catch more passes every practice than anyone because of that. Because, listen, Patrick Mahomes is not, like, seeking someone out. He seeks out the open person, and he has been the open person a lot. And he, he's older than he once was, right? But you will not mistake him for Tyreek Hill's speed, right? But he's a very good, he uses his body size and his leverage and his, footwork and his smarts and know-how to get himself open. And Patrick will 1,000% reward you when you're open. You're going to get the ball, and you better be ready for it. And he will let you know if you were like 1 foot off of where you should have been too. Because we've seen a lot of times guys get open and they didn't do exactly right. These guys have these options on these routes where, you're running something. If the guy's foot is here or he's standing on this hash mark or one thing over here, you have to do something different on it. And Patrick can see that, okay, because that's what he is. And you better be able to be right. And he will reward you. If you keep catching the ball, you're going to get it. Juju has definitely been that guy. Now we're in our third week at camp up here.
Todd Lebo is hanging out in St. Joe. If you want to go to Amini's right now, Amini's Galleria in what?
Metcalf. On Metcalf in Overland Park.
Overland Park location. We are giving away tickets. We got a ticket drop to the 100-year celebration. You've been trying to win tickets. Easy to get them now at Amini's, Metcalf. Going on right now. Go see Dylan. He is there with tickets to the 100-year celebration that is at Amini's on Metcalf in Overland Park. Matt Nagy talked today, the now quarterback's coach, former coach of the Bears. And one thing that really stood out to me, Todd, was he was asked, it might have been by you, I don't know, about the growth from Patrick Mahomes from when he was around to then now what he's seen. And what stood out to me, Todd, was what Matt Nagy did not say. He didn't say one thing about Mahomes on the field. Not one reading defenses or, you know, his ability in the pocket or anything like that. He didn't mention one thing about that. It was rare what type of leader it is, the confidence that he has every day in the meetings. He makes the coaches better, the players better. He went on and on for like 3 or 4 minutes about Mahomes in a couple of different answers, and never one time did he mention anything on the field.
Yeah, that's one of the things when we talked to him during, I can't remember if it was, I guess it was his regular OTAs. We had a day where we talked to him. And you know, he'd obviously been around Patrick for a few months at that point, but not really because they had done a big portion of the phase one of OTAs was basically Patrick's, you know, in Texas. He was running it, right? They had some virtual stuff. So I wanted to ask him again, and now he's been around him in all of these meetings, through all of the mini camp and all that stuff. And you're right, the answer, he's seen him do everything on the field from afar, right? But he hadn't seen him in these rooms, in these meetings. And I think they all kind of thought Patrick was that guy when he was here in 2017 as a rookie. They saw the potential for it to be what it could be. And it has just continued to grow. And I think that's one of the things that Coach Nagy was just like blown away by. Like, this guy is more than you ever even thought he could be. In these meetings, he's working with this guy and that guy and that guy and having 4 conversations and 3 are football and 1 might be something else, right? But he is just engaged in all of it. And that's what a true leader does. A true leader makes everyone better. The great thing that you want to have is the fact that you have a true leader who does that, who's also really great at doing his job. Because you can be a really good leader and not be good at the actual football part of it, right? That's when you turn into a coach or something eventually, yeah. I guess. But when you can do all of those things and be that good on the field, that's when you have magic. And that's basically what he said Mahomes has been. And I think it's been fun for him to get back and see that part of it firsthand, because I think he saw it was going to be there, and now he is seeing it again, and he's certainly excited. He seems very comfortable. You know, there was a Chicago writer there asking a bunch of questions, yeah, about his time in Chicago, and he's willing to answer them. He's cool with that. But I remember him telling us in OTAs how like different his life is now, you know, mental health wise, right? By not having to answer all the other questions every day about everything else and being responsible. Yeah. He's responsible for the quarterback room. I mean, that's what he's responsible for. And that can be a pretty good thing. Now, I still got the feeling, reading between the lines of what he said, he'd like to coach again, you know, and I think he'll be better next time through, but you got to get that second chance. That doesn't always come.
Visiting with Todd Lebo, who is in St. Joe right now. Todd, I don't know. I know you're in St. Joe, so you're not able to pay attention to what's going on in the South region for the Little League World Series, as Oklahoma and Texas are playing each other.
Are they fighting right now? Who's winning?
It's the exact opposite of a fight. So Oklahoma was at bat, and Texas in the field. One of the Oklahoma players got hit in the face/helmet. So right where the ear guard part of the helmet and your face, the ball hit right there, just above his eye. Like, he got down just enough to where the helmet sort of clipped it, to where it took most of the damage away. He was on the ground for a while. He got up. The pitcher for Texas was just bawling and crying. The player who got hit went out to the mound and gave the guy a hug.
How about that?
Yeah.
More importantly, what's the score?
3-2. Texas is leading Oklahoma.
I'm joking.
3-2.
That's a wonderful story.
Yes, Texas
walked out. He walked out there. He gave him a hug, and then he really artfully pivoted it into a headlock, and then just started wailing on him like Nolan Ryan.
But did he put a horns down as he walked out? Because that would have been a penalty.
Yeah. Then he walked over to first, horns down, just from the pitcher's mound to first base.
And Oklahoma just drove in 2 runs. It's now 4-3 Oklahoma over Texas. By the way, there would be no chance that would happen because this pitcher on the mound was very big. He was he's the kid that you check the birth certificate.
Yeah.
The
one. Son.
Yeah, they had to take him out of the game. They had to take the kid out of the game, too. So you drove here. He couldn't keep pitching. They took him out of the game.
They asked to see how old he was, and he handed him a driver's license and went, hold on a second.
But, man, it was so close to being much worse than it. That helmet just clipped the baseball enough to where it took most of the damage away.
Good invention, that front pad.
Yes, absolutely. Major League Baseball players wearing them, too. Yeah, I mean, softball players have the face mask on there, too.
Always made sense to me.
Me, too, especially the pitchers.
Hey, you know? Hockey, you guys also don't have to do it like that. You can wear a mask. Yeah, it's okay. Like, it's right. Cool. No, we'll all still think you're really tough. Just keep your teeth.
Let your old grandfather in on that. Yeah,
that's exactly right. No, it went from a really awful scene to a really cool scene.
It sounds like there. It's even better now that they drove in two runs.
Yeah, now you got the guy who got hit in the face/helmet on third base. So, you know, it's going to come back to haunt him. You go head hunting there, Syndergaard. You know, you're gonna see what happens.
Get you.
But yes, now don't worry. Oklahoma is now leading Texas.
So, all right, that's good. Let's finish that off, will
up,
we?
Up 4-3. You know, we won't talk to you again until next week. So just real quick before we let you go, is there anything, you know, I like that the different assistant coaches were talking about things that they'd like to see and things like that. What maybe are you going to be looking for on Saturday?
Well, you know, I think it is worth watching special teams because that is a big key right here. And that's where you'll see, like, real effort. Now, they may not run some crazy returns, but that's real football at that point, right? So I'll be watching all of that. And they're going to throw these guys out there in the fire. You heard Coach Merritt say it about the defensive backs. You know, hey, listen, don't rest. You're playing special teams and you're playing defense. Mm-hmm. So I want to watch those guys. I want to see how McDuffie works out. I want to see Joshua Williams play. We want to see these guys do it against someone else, you know, out there in the game. So I'll be watching the young guys for sure. That's what you have to look for. You have to see those guys. And that's the fun part of when you get to be covering the Chiefs or you're a Chiefs fan. You don't have to watch the quarterbacks. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about those things. Let's watch the kids because that's the important part and see how they do.
Yeah, last year it was all about the offense because the new offensive line. And and game one, Mahomes played one series. I think they might have gone 3 and out, and that was it. Like he wasn't out there long, but the rest of the entire offense was out there with Chad Henne. So we were watching that and seeing what the offensive line looked like. This year it's going to be defense for me. I know the wide receivers and Mahomes and stuff like that is what we're going to be paying attention to, but there are so many new and moving parts on defense that, you know, for three quarters of that game, I'll be watching and seeing what guys do as opposed to, the roster's kind of set and positions are kind of set. So you watch the first quarter and who cares after that? I think this preseason is going to be a lot more interesting.
It's the biggest group of rookies they've ever had, right?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of guys to watch.
And half that class is in the secondary.
Yeah, they're all over out there. So that'll be something to watch for sure.
Absolutely.
We'll keep our eyes on it.
Todd, you're the man. Safe travels back here. We'll continue to hear from you there in St. Joe with the Chiefs and the press conferences. Thank you, Todd.
All right, guys. Remember, no practice tomorrow. They'll be back at it on Thursday.
Well, looking forward to Thursday. Thank you, sir. Safe travels.
Okay. Bye.
All right, there's Todd Lebo. And yes, Oklahoma is leading Texas 4-3 now in the Little League World Series of the South region. So he's got to be very excited about that.
Can I interest you in an event on Thursday, Jason?
You can, actually.
You don't even know what it is yet. I mean, how did you?
It's on
you just
Thursday.
Want something that you just want to do something Thursday? That's cool. Look, it's great. So we have something planned.
So I've got plans this week.
We'll
I'm trying to think of what the plans
Thursday
were this week. So
doubleheader
today. Then Friday I'll be out at the current game. Looking forward to being
there. Beards and I would have both gotten this wrong, I think. Beards and I both thought you would forget to sign up.
No, I was very excited to finally get an invite, the first ever in my life, to a quote-unquote loosely used term celebrity game. And so at halftime, getting to play in the quote-unquote loosely used term celebrity soccer game, I immediately signed up for that. If I'm getting invited to that, yes, I'm definitely doing that. The family's going to be there.
The whole zone's going to be there then because we're all locked in, baby.
I hope you guys too?
Do you think they want to put us on the same team or different teams? What would be funnier?
Feels less special now, I guess.
If I have a chance to slide tackle.
Didn't know that everybody was getting.
If I get to slide tackle Beards, I will take that opportunity.
I don't own cleats.
Oh, I don't either. Are you kidding?
No, I think we're supposed to not have cleats, I think, right? That feels like taking too much responsibility.
Why can't I go boots high? Why can't I slide? Can I get
a
red card?
I think you should. I think, yes.
Can I get a red, depending on who it is.
I will slide tackle Beards and try to get you ejected. If I could do either of those things, it'll be a victory. So yeah, you can come watch us at halftime in the middle of a bunch of professionals playing much better soccer. We'll be here. We're basically the dog show at halftime. You know,
right.
We're just chasing frisbees.
Yes. And then I'll be heading to a Royals game this weekend as well.
That's
so
huge. But Thursday's
those
open?
Those are the only things that I know of that might be going on this week.
Well, I have incredible news for you and anybody else with a little time on Thursday night, because we're celebrating, I can't believe you missed all these emails, Jason, 100 years of WHB.
You can't believe I missed emails?
I completely believe you missed all these emails. This isn't a bit. This is just Jason finding out we have a thing on Thursday. We'll be at the Midland for a 100-year celebration of WHB. It's going to be unbelievable. The guest list is ridiculous. We've been giving away tickets now for a while, but if you've been calling in and not getting through, want to just get your tickets, we're doing a ticket drop right now at Amini's in Overland Park, 10595 Metcalf Avenue, Amini's on Metcalf. And also, if you need anything for your house, like at all, Amini's has you covered. Indoor, outdoor, patio furniture, pinball machines, golden tee, game room stuff. Tons of great sales going on at Amini's. So go get yourself some, you know, patio furniture if you'd like from Amini's. Grab yourself a pair of tickets. Tickets are free. All you got to do is get there, show up, and say, hi, can I get a pair of tickets for the 100-year celebration on Thursday? And Dylan will hook you up with a pair of tickets.
My wife and I are currently deciding on what we're going to do in the living room. Do we need to get a new couch? She has a new couch that she's picked out. I have offered as an alternate option the full-sized NBA Jam arcade game to go where the couch would go.
Sure.
And we can put like four bar stool seats around there. Just those seats right there, and that would give you the couch might be what, three, maybe four people. The bar stools, four.
Four and NBA Jam.
And you get NBA Jam as well.
You're
making
some great points.
I'm going to keep fighting for it. I'm going to keep trying to, if she could just see from my view as to how much better the seating around the, and it would open up more space than some clunky couch.
How can you plan around a couch? Look, go to Amini's. And I might not be able to solve your space issue, but go to Amini's and I'll be able to solve your financial issue there. Well, why not both? That's the question. That's if you go to Amini's, all of a sudden, both are back on the table again.
That's a good point. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up this hour. We'll continue talking some Chiefs on the other side of the break. And then Adam Teicher, Chiefs insider from ESPN, he will be our guest coming up at
1 o'clock. 15 minutes.
Okay. I had to pause there. I don't know if this happened on purpose. Oklahoma's pitcher just hit the Texas team in the head.
Oh, no.
Just threw a pitch, and it hit the Texas player in the head, in the helmet.
The pitcher's kind of shrugging it off. Runner on first.
Smiling. I mean, it was much better than the previous one, because the previous half inning, the kid that got hit in the helmet / face, it was right where the ear guard joins the face, so it hit right in the middle there. So he was actually hurt. This one hits right off the top of the helmet and bounces away, and the guy just dropped the bat and ran down to first. But I mean, are we Little League World Series pitchers justice of you hit my guy, now I'm throwing it at you?
This time the pitcher just threw a pitch so far, it went way outside, threw it so hard that his hat flew off.
You know,
unwritten rules are so confusing.
Yeah. That happened to Sandy Koufax. You know, in the ninth inning when he was going for a perfect game. The final at bat, he threw a pitch. The first pitch there was his hat flew off. You know how I know that?
Because Vince Scully. Because
we played all those Vince Scully clips last week. I didn't know that until he said that.
Me neither.
Can't blame a man who's trying to reach back and get a little bit more here in the ninth inning with one out. And he's got 26 straight batters, 26 batters, 26 outs. All right, we'll take a timeout. More.
12:46 p.m.
As
this show has been
Oklahoma
fertilizer.
Bleaking fertilizer.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I do want to weigh in on this too, as all joking aside. Those were jokes. Didn't result in laughs, but it was an attempt.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So a little baseball before we talk with Adam Teicher in the 1 o'clock hour. First of all, an update on this Texas and Oklahoma game in the Little League World Series that we typically would not really care about.
It's a weird thing
about
for us to lock on to, but they've earned it.
An Oklahoma player got hit in the helmet / face, and it was a pretty bad scene because he was in a lot of pain. He eventually, you know, gets up and wants to stay in the game. He goes down to first. The pitcher for Texas is distraught and is just crying on the mound. The kid who got hit in the helmet / face goes up to the mound and gives him a hug. It was a really cool scene. The next time Texas was up, so they get the outs. Oklahoma is now in the field. Texas is up at the plate. A Texas player gets hit in the helmet by an Oklahoma pitcher. They eventually get out of that inning. Now Oklahoma is up, and the first batter for Oklahoma gets hit directly in the back. Now, we are talking about 12-year-olds and their control. So is it more likely that they just simply lost the ball and when they're pitching? Or is it more likely that, yeah, he was able to hit the one kid right in the helmet and the other one was able to hit the other kid right directly in the back? Or it's like, ah, you're kind of wild at 12 years old and you can't really place it exactly where it wants to go. Regardless, it's three straight innings where one of the first batters of the inning gets hit with a pitch, two in the head and one directly in the back.
Do we need 12-year-olds wearing sliding gloves? I guess it could be good for, like, not breaking your fingers or whatever.
That's exactly what it's
but
for.
But I just looked up, and it's just the only thing it's for. Some of these what little else? Kids are just a little too swagged out.
What else do you think it's for? Touching a hot pan?
Yeah, for looking like Whit Merrifield on the bases.
So you don't break your fingers.
You know what? I should just leave.
The Royals have made some moves for today's doubleheader. Taylor Clark has been placed on the 15-day IL. Jose Quas has been recalled from Omaha. Jonathan Heasley is the 27th man appointed for today, the doubleheader. So expected probably pitching tonight as Brady Singer's on the mound in the first game of the doubleheader. And then the young kids and then Michael A. Taylor in the lineup today. Melendez, Witt, Salvi, Pasquantino, Michael A. Taylor, Massey, Prado, Isbell, Lopez. If you slide Taylor out of there, you could have had a lineup of your first six of Melendez, Witt, Salvi, Pasquantino, Massey, Prado. See you a little bit.